If Christmas is the time for giving, what's the time for receiving? If you have to kiss underneath mistletoe, what plant do you have to f*** under?
Jesus Christ.
All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life!
Good Lord, man.
Welcome, everyone, to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where myself and Kit Greer Malvena investigate a brand new paranormal tale, case, claim, or beast, and come to a conclusion at the end as to whether or not it truly is paranormal.
You know, the list that we do in the beginning, paranormal tale, claim, what do you say, ghost, beast.
Didn't say that. No.
Beast didn't used to be on there. If you listen back to the early podcast, beast didn't used to be on there.
Really?
Until enough beasts kind of came along in our paranormal investigations, we were like, we got to rewrite the list,
mate. We had to start talking about them.
Right, we got to acknowledge this at some point.
Every week we investigate a new beast, creature, monster, or beast, and come down to a conclusion.
Beasts? Also,
the world's full of beasts.
Normally, every week we do one paranormal tale. There's too many beasts. We got to do a bumper episode, five beasts per episode for 3 months.
We got to knock out a bunch of beasts, honestly, because it's so overwhelming.
God.
Well, let me tell you, Kit, while we are kind of halfway through December, I'd be lying if I said that today's investigation wasn't a form of beast. Because we're investigating a little Christmas character that is unrepresented, I think, in Christmas folklore throughout history. Because that's right. I believe when this episode is coming out, it is just about halfway through December. Things are getting festive. We are wearing Santa hats. We've got a Christmas tree in the office.
You wouldn't know it was halfway through December. It's boiling in here. I am so hot I could die.
Well, we had the heating on. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. What's the matter with you? Normally, we're the other way around. Normally I'm shivering in the corner and you're like, it's fine.
That's because listeners of the podcast don't know that as soon as Christmas rolls around, Kit becomes Scrooge McFucking Duck. There, no coal for the fire.
No.
Working overtime.
Yeah, and money doesn't make itself.
I'm like, please, sir, can we turn on the heating? I can't feel my fingertips while I type these scripts.
And my voice goes real weird. I'm like, no. It kind of goes. Really? It's like I get a frog in my throat just once it hits December 1st.
It really does. It becomes a crotchety old man.
I hope my voice goes back to normal. I can't podcast like this. Sure. I might not. I'm not a Grinch, okay? That's a beast that we're going to be investigating next week.
Yeah.
Does this make sense? Because you're American, that you're more of a Christmas guy than me?
I love Christmas. I really do. It's one of my favorite times, especially to be in London. And this part of Christmas in particular is my favorite, kind of midway through December, because people don't know this, but when you're this close to Christmas, it's too late for Santa to change the list.
All right, I see where you're going with this.
If you catch my drift.
It's not true. It's not true.
It's been written up. He made a list. He checked it twice. The shipping information has been provided.
Listen,
the toys have been made. And I'm gonna become a bad boy for the rest of December.
Rory's got every app open on his phone. All the parcels are registered. The delivery date is confirmed. So he knows he can do whatever he wants. Rory, that is an urban legend in the Santa community. These days, Santa's up to date. He's got a borderline Apple Corporation production line going. He can cancel an order at the drop of a hat.
Sorry, so there's still time that he could move me to the naughty list?
Yes. I mean, for Christ's sake, man, when we're recording this, there's still quite a bit of December to go. What did you have planned?
I pushed a child over in March. Was that too soon?
I just wasn't going to tell him about it until next week.
Yeah, well, I've done a few bad things, sure.
Santa is omnipotent, right? Like, you can't hide a crime from him, I'm guessing. A bit like Jesus.
He doesn't see everything, though.
Because I'm wondering, does he need, like, character references? Like, is he phoning up your mum and dad?
I gotta stop you right there, by the way, because there is at no point in the Bible does it ever say that Jesus sees all crime.
Yeah, that's not true, because Jesus was a man.
I think he knows
I'm talking
when
about
sin
God.
Happens.
Yeah.
But he can't. He's not like a detective.
But I'm saying, does Santa need like character references? Is it like when you apply for a job and you kind of write your letter to Santa and you give your mum and dad's phone number so he can call up? Well, they're a bit biased, actually.
Yeah.
Probably have to ring your school teacher or something. Like, listen, Sandra, can I level with you? Rory's asking for a lot of shit this year. He's asking for a lot of shit.
And he's saying he's been good.
We're talking Xbox Original, Halo 2. You know, this time of year, good luck getting your, even for Santa, good luck getting your hands on a copy of that.
That's a big ask. And a lot of the really good kids want that stuff. So I'm probably going to give it to them.
So, you know, so I'm going to need a glowing reference here. Or is it just he, you know, when he's packing his sack with Rory's presents, is he a bit like f***ing Bran Stark in Game of Thrones? His eyes roll back into his head and he can see everything Rory's done in a year.
I hope not. Go easy on me, Santa. There's still time for me to change. Scrooge changed in one f***ing night.
Rory's panicking right now. He's like, no, you can't see everything, right? I put a sticker over my webcam. He can't see everything, bro. For sure he can't see everything.
I wiped my browser history. How's Santa gonna see? You know, Kit, we're joking, but it's true. We are halfway through December. I am feeling festive. I am feeling Christmassy. And I know every year we do a few Christmas-themed episodes. For example, last year we did an entire episode on the dark side of Christmas.
That's right.
Where we talked about a few Christmas characters that people may not have heard of before, including Krampus, who's probably the most popular of them all, the Yule Lads, Père Fouettard, also known as Father Whipper. He was a crowd favorite. But there was one individual that was basically so weird and so f***ed up that I think that even in this episode, we said that we have to do a full-length investigation into this guy because his story is so insane.
I remember it well, Rory. This was the legend of how Christmas used to be a festival based on drinking reindeer piss.
I don't think that was ever true.
That is true.
No, that would...
Did we not cover this in a previous Christmas special?
No.
This is the meaning of Christmas. I don't know that already.
I think the meaning of Christmas is like family or giving or love. You think it's reindeer piss? Drinking it
specifically.
Right. The piss by itself is useless, pointless. The magic really sets in when you're on glass four.
You know, we don't have a ton of time to get into it because it seems like you actually were planning on talking about something else. But Rory, you see, the reason, you know, we're wearing these lovely red and white hats, Santa Claus is red and white, because that is the coloration of the Amanita muscaria mushroom native to Serbia in the frozen kind of wilderness. The reindeers eat them and then they piss out all the kind of crazy mushroom juice, which then people would have traditionally drunk at Christmas time and had a crazy trip. And that was the meaning of Christmas for a few thousand years.
So I think the red and the white is because of Coca-Cola.
Huh?
I think it was originally red and green, and then the Coca-Cola adverts turned it red and white, and that's why it's red and white.
That seems like a pretty silly reason.
Not because of an ancient mushroom eaten by reindeers and pissed out into some sort of psychotic juice.
Hey, don't be a Scrooge. Don't be a Grinch, all right? I'm trying to sit over here and celebrate the Christmas that I've come to know and love, and that is getting a cool 8-ounce jar of reindeer piss on Christmas Eve and just blasting off.
Don't be a Grinch and drink up. No, what we are investigating today is a little individual known as Hans Trapp, the Christmas Scarecrow.
Ooh, now, we do a lot of podcasts. So as much as I was apparently there for that podcast recording where we discussed Hans Trapp, I don't remember that much. So I think I'm on the same page as the listeners. I might need a refresher.
I mean, I don't blame you for hearing the words Hans Trapp, the Scarecrow Man, and not remembering that he has anything to do with Christmas.
Right.
That's fair. I'm not blaming you for that. He sounds like a Batman villain. So it's all right that you don't remember he was in our Christmas episode.
Yeah, I don't, you know, normally my brain goes to like cookies and milk and kind of an open fire, but sure, the Scarecrow Man, that's cool too.
If you're involved in Christmas in any capacity, your name shouldn't have Trap in it.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign. That's like saying, oh, have you ever heard of the Christmas elf known as Jigsaw?
Yeah, he's like the way Satan was a fallen angel. Jigsaw was a fallen elf.
Right.
He kind of got sick of making toys.
Yeah, when they call Satan a fallen angel, it's like, let's ditch that. I think he's lost the whole angel thing now.
Right.
Like, it's full on demon.
Like, it's kind of like, you know, if I was a postman for 2 weeks and then I became a serial killer at large for 35 years. Yeah. Are they going to keep, are they going to continue to call me, you know, the murdering postman? It's like, I think at some point your legacy shouldn't include that little footnote.
Yeah. It's like getting divorced and calling yourself a fallen husband. Yeah. It's like, you're just divorced, my guy. I'm actually a fallen father. My kids don't talk to me anymore. And the wife took him. So today we're going to learn all about the legend of Hans Trapp. Right after a quick word from today's sponsors. And a reminder, you can get every episode of This Paranormal Life ad-free on patreon.com/thisparanormallife. Like a lot of these more unusual Christmas characters, if you couldn't tell, Hans Trapp has European origins and was a big part of the folklore in the French regions of Alsace and Lorraine. Now, in these places, there's really three main characters that the people talk about. First off, you got the classic, Saint Nicholas. He rewards children who have been good during the past year. Then, you got Christkindl. Slightly different than Santa, this is an individual who officiates at Christmas and distributes gifts to children.
Oh, interesting. Okay, kind of, production assistant.
Yeah, doing a bit more Santa. The admin. And then finally, you've got Hans Trapp.
Okay.
So he's known for a lot of different interesting reasons. But if I had to pick one
Are any of them good?
I don't know the guy personally. I'm sure he has a lot of cool hobbies and shit. Maybe he plays guitar.
Well, we're not talking about his hobbies. We're talking about the things he
Maybe
does.
Maybe he collects antique coins. Maybe.
Right, sure.
Likes improv comedy, I'm not sure.
We'll assume he's a well-rounded person in his personal life, but what about his job at Christmas?
So he eats children?
Okay.
He does eat children. It's kind of his main thing. So,
okay.
You know, like Christkindl kind of gives gifts. Hans Trapp eats the bones of little ones.
The spectrum of things that can happen to you as a child is so vast.
Right.
So vast on Christmas Day.
Nothing this bad should be able to happen on the simultaneously best day of the year.
Yes.
When everyone should be partying and like eating food and getting presents. There shouldn't also be a slight chance you might get eaten by a scarecrow.
I mean, that's going to be...
Because that threat just puts like a little downer on the whole day. Even if you're pretty sure you're not going to be eaten by the scarecrow man.
Because for the rest of your family, like that's going to be an awkward Christmas dinner.
Right.
Just like the, all this silence around the dinner table as they tuck into their turkey and stuffing. And they're just like, really well cooked this year, Father. Like, yeah, Timmy would have liked it, wouldn't he? He would have, but let's not talk about him. Yeah. Lest Hans come back.
I will say, beside his bizarre origin story and diet, the strangest part about him is his link to Christmas. Specifically, the fact that many people don't know this, Hans Trapp allegedly worked with Santa to visit children all over the world.
Right. This was like a buddy cop movie. They were, you know, they didn't get along, but goddammit, they had been put on the same patrol and they had to share a squad car.
Hey, it's the odd couples. It's the unusual partners.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the guy who brings gifts to children all over the world. You also got the guy that eats kids all over the world.
Hey, everyone's got a, you know, a up sibling that they kind of have to put up with. You know, for me, that's my older brother. For Rory, well, he's the up sibling to his brother Colin.
Yeah.
So we've all kind of been there. But why, really, why were they sharing that sled ride all around the world?
We're going to find out, Kit. It's all part of this incredible legend. So where does the story begin? Well, the legends say that Hans Trapp, or Hans Trot, is an alternative name to the knight Hans von Trotha in local French legend. There's a few different versions of how the story goes, but essentially, Hans was well known for being a pretty evil guy. He was an individual obsessed with wealth and power and would do anything that he could to amass it. Unfortunately, that thirst for power led him down a dangerous path, specifically the occult. That's right. Rumor began to spread that Hans was using dark magic, dealing with demons, and even making arrangements with the devil to gain success and influence.
This is a pattern we have seen in the past, isn't it? I'm trying to remember a sort of recent one. There was a cryptid, and it was a farmer who had been dabbling in the dark arts, and then he became fused with like a donkey or something.
That's right, yeah, I remember that.
I don't quite remember the details of that one, unfortunately, but something we've seen before, which is people, let's face it, making a wrong decision. And we're not talking, you know, picking up smoking again after stopping for a few years. We're talking signing your life away for, you know, I don't know, a lottery ticket.
Because you don't really dabble in the dark arts. Yeah. You know, according to the guy upstairs, you're either into it or you're not.
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying you dabble in crack cocaine.
Yeah.
You're kind of really into it or you don't do it at all.
Yeah, it's kind of a switch that gets flicked.
Yeah, like I would say. I kind of dabble with murder. It's like, you're a murderer then. Yeah. You don't just...
I dabble in human trafficking.
Yeah, you're a criminal. If you dabble in crime, you're a criminal. This is how it works, and it's the same what we're seeing here, with, unfortunately, Hans Trapp. It's a slippery slope. However, it wasn't long before this occult activity was noticed, and there was one guy in particular that wasn't happy about it. The Pope. Before long, Hans was arrested and brought before the Vatican, where they accused him of his crimes.
Sir Hans Trapp, you are brought before us today as you have been accused of occult activity, demonology, and dark magic.
In my defense, Your Honor. Do I call you Your Honor? I don't know how to... Sir, the Pope?
Silence! You do not speak to me at all, you black magician.
Whoa! Well, look, I wasn't in my defense, because I don't have a lawyer here. I didn't realize it was going to be a whole thing. In my defense, I didn't know a lot of this shit was against the rules, you know? I mean, the Bible's got a lot of rules in it, but is there a passage where they say you can't worship the Dark Lord?
It's actually a pretty big part of the book, yes.
It is, really?
Listen, buddy, I know they're long books, but you gotta read them. You gotta read them. I mean, it's too late now. By the way, you don't need a lawyer because this isn't a trial. You're just being executed.
I what? Oh, that's no good for me, man, because I'll tell you exactly where I'm going. Down. I promised a lot of shit to the guy downstairs.
In the end, the Pope declared that he was immediately excommunicated from the church.
Yeah, like that got lost in translation. He got a little excited there for a second.
You are being executed. One of his advisors is in his ear. No, excommunicated. Right, that's what I said. Excommunicated.
Yeah, I feel like probably around this time in history, both of those were equally punishing.
Right, which is, it is funny now, right? Because there's definitely at least someone who committed some sort of crime, papal crime against the Pope and was excommunicated. And they didn't know what that word meant. And he's like, you are being excommunicated. And they're like, no, no. And then kind of nothing happens. And he's like, wait, I don't know. What does that mean? And they're like, you can no longer be in the church. And he's like, right, but I go to prison or something, right? And they're like, not really. You can kind of do whatever you want. You're not allowed to go to church anymore.
It's like, I can't go to any church? It's like, no, just ours. You can go to any other one you want. It's like, oh, okay.
Right.
So other religions will welcome me with open arms. Yes. Yeah.
But presumably someday I'm going to be like, executed. No, not really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. If I got excommunicated from the church today, it's not going to necessarily make a huge amount of difference in my day-to-day life. But around the time Hans Trapp was kicking about, we're about to find out how bad this really was.
Right.
When Hans Trapp returned home to France, he discovered that as part of the punishment, all his land, castles, and gold had been seized.
Okay, well, that's more than just being kicked out of the church, isn't it? They've taken your stuff.
He'd also been shunned by all of the people in the town.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Everyone turns their back on you. That's how important, you know, and pivotal religion was in this society. Now, banished to the wilderness, stripped of his fortune, Trapp was reduced to living in a shack in the mountains of Bavaria. But instead of learning the error of his ways, he doubled down on his exploration of the dark arts.
Yeah, this is why, you know, we got to believe in, when we're talking about crime and punishment, We have to believe in a reformation, right? We got to, like, you know, sure, punish people, but we've got to be also like, hey, we are going to put some effort into making you not do this again, giving you some kind of life, because if we make your life bad enough, you'll do it again. It's almost guaranteed you'll do it again.
Yeah, you can't just put criminals in a situation where their only option is to crime again.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You know, if someone goes to prison for stealing, and then once they finally get out of prison, it's like, here you go, you're free, but you can't have a job, you can't have a house, you can't do literally anything. They're like, cool, well, I'm probably going to go back to stealing then.
Yeah, because it's the one thing I can do to get food.
They're like, ironically, that's the one thing we can't stop you from doing, so we'll see you back here in 6 months.
Hans Trapp's raw anger, combined with his devil worshipping, eventually drove him mad. Although, he did eventually lose the drive for revenge against those who had wronged him.
Well, that's good.
Which is great. Forgive and forget. All that jazz.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he had a new goal, though. And he was really working towards it.
Okay. Hopefully it was like a fitness goal or something.
But he wanted to eat human flesh.
Okay.
He was craving it, he wanted to taste it, and he became obsessed with the idea of eating humans.
Oh, boy.
In order to pull... This is insane. In order to pull this off, he started dressing as a scarecrow as a way to hide from his victims. So he would stuff raggedy clothes with hay and straw and stand out in the woods waiting for travelers to pass by so he could attack them.
You know, if I'm planning on dressing up as an inanimate object in a place with a lot of footfall, scarecrow isn't in the top 50 objects because they live in f***ing fields. They live in fields of wheat far away from humans. If you're lucky, if you're incredibly lucky, a single farmer will pass you by in a week.
Yeah, you can't just be like, I don't know, down an alley and be standing there dressed as a scarecrow. Everyone's going to know you're not a real scarecrow. Eventually, though, he succeeded and he found a victim. A young shepherd boy was passing through the forest when he spotted a scarecrow by the roadside in front of him. Strange place for a scarecrow, the boy thought.
Yes.
There aren't any crops near here worth protecting. And God, it almost looks like it's breathing.
You know, it's f***ed up that we're 30 seconds into this cannibalism story, and I'm already starting to think like Hans. I'm like, young shepherd boy, cha-ching. This guy definitely has no family, works on his own. If he goes missing, people are probably thinking he just walked off a cliff or something.
You're kind of expecting him to not come back.
Yeah, not really going to go looking for him. Probably a wolf got him
while it
was trying to get some sheep.
He's a kid too, so just one conk and he's probably done.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good way, a good place to start.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to start with like a hunter.
No.
You know, a hunter who's like wrestling bears and carrying them back to the village to eat. Way too hard.
Yeah, what's the...
Little shepherd boy? Boom. One hit.
What's the word? he dodges your first punch, starts hitting you with his stick.
Ow, oh, Jesus! Shitty strong!
I'm just, trying to nibble. Oh! It goes viral on medieval social media. It's like satanic cannibal tries to eat shepherd boy, doesn't realize he's a black belt in jujitsu.
Yeah.
And it's just a mugshot of Hans with a f***ing black eye.
It's on like streetfights.com.
World star.
This little shepherd boy beating the shit out of a scarecrow.
Was this justified? ??
Unfortunately, that is not how it went down. Before the shepherd could put two and two together, Hans Trapp leapt forward. He killed the shepherd and began dragging the body back to his shack. But according to the legends, before he could even take a single bite out of this kid, he was struck in the head by a bolt of lightning.
What?
Killing him instantly.
Wow. I guess Jesus can see everything.
That's what people say. In the story, they claim that this bolt of lightning came down from God as a way to stop Hans from going any
Too
further.
Late. Too late, by the way. Too late. was God in the middle of like a Netflix binging session. He's like mouthful of popcorn, glances over to his baby monitor with a live feed of Earth. He's like, oh shit.
Yeah, God really hit snooze those first couple times. He's like, what's Hans up to? He's drawing a pentagram in the woods. He's fine. Hit snooze. What's he? He's dressed as a scarecrow. He's fine. Snooze.
He looks over. Hans has now got a human in a giant cooking pot. Oh!
Oh, shit! Throws a lightning bolt immediately to kill him. Oh, God. That is late. That's my bad.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah. Hopefully that guy was already dead. Hopefully. Jeez. Oh, man. I need to get it together.
But did Hans Trapp really die? Since then, every Christmas, many parents in the French regions of Alsace and Lorraine have warned their kids that Hans Trapp's ghostly spirit returns every season in the form of a scarecrow, where he kidnaps kids and eats the naughty children.
Right, you're saying he signed over his soul to the devil or whatever.
Yeah.
And now he keeps coming back.
Exactly. Every Christmas he comes back. And I think it's kind of a bit of a, it's become a bit of folklore and a bit of legend, especially in these more rural areas. A similar way, if you see a comb on the floor in Ireland, don't pick it up because that is from the banshee and it's a trap. If you're in Bavaria and you see a scarecrow in a very strange place around Christmas time, don't go near it. Especially if you're a bad child.
Right, yeah. That seems like an interesting kind of twist in the logic of all this. That, so you're saying he specifically attacks bad children. Why does he care? He's a cannibal.
I think it's kind of, this is where he becomes a little more entwined with the Christmas season and some of the other legends around monsters that eat bad children, Santa not giving presents to bad children.
Okay.
Because in other versions of the story, Hans Trapp, as I said earlier, spent time accompanying Santa as sort of a right-hand man, as a way for Santa to sort of scare the bad kids straight.
So you're saying just that the threat of only getting coal for Christmas wasn't doing it. Santa had to take matters into his own hands.
Right.
Recruited Hans Trapp.
Yeah, because look, I've met some bad kids before.
Yeah.
You can take away the iPad. It's only going to make them worse.
Right.
You know?
They grow more. They're like, you take away the iPad, they start cackling like an anime villain looking at the ground. They're like, I grow more powerful with every minute without iPad that passes.
You got to up the threat. It's not enough to take away the toys. It's not enough to say, go to your room. You have to say, I brought a scarecrow with me. He's alive.
Right.
And if you keep crying, he's going to take you to a shack and eat you.
Yes.
And then little Billy, all of a sudden little Billy's going to bed on time. All of a sudden, little Billy's eating his f***ing broccoli. Because I got a f***ing scarecrow chained up in the garage. And if little Billy doesn't listen, the lock comes off.
God.
Good night, Billy.
So it's really like parents back in the day, I mean, every one of them was like the kind of cartel negotiator from the Sicario movies.
Right.
It's like, on Christmas Eve, it's like, either you're a good boy and the presents come, or you're a bad boy. And then he like threatens them with like, oh, you're a bad boy and we have to do something quite different. And then he wraps a chain around his son and throws him off a cliff. His son's like, no, I'll be good, I'll be
right.
good. He's like, what's that? You'll be good. You know, picks him back up off the cliff. It's like, you got to really scare him.
Now, I know this sounds insane, Kit, but it's not the first time that we've heard stories like this before. We mentioned it at the start of this podcast, but on last year's Christmas episode, we talked about Père Fouettard, also known as Father Whipper. This was another Christmas legend of a Frenchman who, yeah, sure, also couple kids.
Why are they all French? Why is it all French?
Is this
just a French thing, this all these f***ed up Christmas tales?
It is very regional. France, Germany, Bavaria, this kind of corner of Europe. It does have a lot of, but this is also where a lot of like the Christmas legends and stories originated from.
Right, okay.
You know.
I get that.
And we just cherry picked all the nice ones and left Father Whipper in the past with all the other cannibals. Now, Father Whipper, yeah, 8 kids, yeah, of course. But instead of being killed by a lightning bolt, he was actually visited by Santa
who condemned him to a life of slavery, working alongside him as he visits children across the world.
Not cool, Santa. Even Santa, even St. Nicholas is enslaving people?
I guess it's, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the logic here. Maybe Santa's like, you're bad to children.
Yes.
So your punishment is joining me to be nice to children.
Right, it's like community service.
And he's like, no,
it's just
I don't
the way
want
you
to.
Worded it. It's just the way you worded it. You said he enslaved him.
He did. He,
for
I think
eternity?
He chained him to the sleigh. Like a bulldog.
Imagine you're a kid and you're all excited to see Santa flying through the air. And there's just a bloke, like in Mad Max, chained to the front of it. with a metal mask over his teeth.
The kids are like, Rudolph? It's like, don't touch him, kids. Don't touch the reindeer. Interestingly enough, the story of Hans Trapp is actually very loosely built around a real-life guy.
I was worried that was the case. Go on.
The actual man, Hans von Trotha, was an actual knight from history who did also do some pretty bad stuff, allegedly.
Okay.
But what, you ask? We're going to find out, Kit, right after a quick word from today's sponsors.
Do I want to know?
All right, we are back. And as I said, this is the part of the podcast where we get to reveal that Hans Trapp is actually kind of a real guy.
I wish I was a knight.
Why?
I just think that would be nice, you know? To have a title.
Would you get knighted if you were offered it here in the UK, in England? As an Irishman, Kit?
No, for that reason. But I would think about it.
You know what I would do?
Go on.
I'd be like, yeah, I'd love to get knighted. Yeah, come on. Yeah, let's get knighted. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, kiss the ring, sir. Kiss all the jewels and stuff. And then I take one knee. They put the sword on my shoulder, and I grab the handle and swing it round, cutting that guy in half like Snoke in Star Wars.
That's regicide, brother.
What is that? That sounds sick.
It's when you kill a king.
Oh, shit.
It's a crime.
Well, who's going to arrest me? I'm king now.
Probably the Pope, to be honest. Okay. Yeah, so Rory really went like one of those kind of embarrassing self-defense videos where someone's like, someone points a gun at you, yep. You simply grab the barrel, twist it round, break his wrist, point it back at him.
Yeah.
Doesn't work at all in the real world. But to be fair, King Charles, you know, he's pretty old and he's not going to be on his A game. He's got to be thinking about what he's having for dinner that night. He knights probably 12 people a f***ing day.
I'm going to pretend to get nicked by it when he puts it on his shoulder and I'm going to be like, oh, call an ambulance. And then go, but not for me. And grab the sword. 360 spin like Link. Woo! And freaking cut that guy in half like a block of cheese. As we said, Hans von Trotha was a real guy. He was born in 1450, and he served as a knight entrusted with the watch of two castles. Unfortunately, one of those nearby castles contained a bunch of stuff that belonged to the monks in a nearby village, and they wanted it back. Hans refused to return the goods, and even went as far as to build a dam, cutting off the water supply to the monks' village.
I don't know why, but I'm already on Hans' side. These monks sound annoying.
I don't know. You've taken all of their stuff. They ask for it back. You say no and cut off their water. That's kind of a dick move. When the monks ordered him to remove the dam, Hans said, okay, and tore the whole thing down at once, completely flooding the village.
God damn it.
Eventually, the monks and the abbot went to the Vatican, where they complained about Hans. So this is the part of the story that is true. The Pope did summon Hans von Trotha to be questioned about his loyalty to the church. But instead of going, he wrote the Pope a letter questioning his loyalty to the church.
Uh-oh.
Baller move.
That's not going to end well, is it? That is not going to end well. Because the one thing I do know about the Pope is he's never wrong. That's kind of the whole deal.
Yeah.
Is he can't be wrong.
So if he's like, I don't think you're being faithful to the church. You can't go, I don't think you're being faithful to the church.
Yeah.
Because he kind of is the church.
Yeah, that's instant jail.
Right. In the end, he was excommunicated, just like in the legends. So as you can see, there's some parts of the story that are true, some parts, like him becoming a ghost scarecrow, that don't necessarily have the evidence to back up the claims. But it's quite interesting because even when you hear the story of Hans, historians don't know how much of him being a bad person is true and how much of it was the rumors being spread about him when he was excommunicated from the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they say like, you know, what do I say? History is told by the victors.
Yeah.
It's kind of this. He might have actually not been that bad a guy. But after he was excommunicated, all these, like, I heard he built a dam and flooded a village and starved monks. And it's like, did he really? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, back then as well, you had no newspapers and no internet. So you, like, you might have heard that he was excommunicated and that was why he wasn't there anymore. And maybe then people's minds just ran wild with, why was it? I heard he was eating babies. You know, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I heard he was worshipping the devil. That's why he was excommunicated.
Yeah.
This is how a lot of these legends get created. Now, let's say Hans Trapp, the monster, the paranormal creature, does exist. I thought we would spend a little bit of time here on the podcast just giving people some advice and some tips on how to deal with him slash avoid him if you do find yourself in Germany, France, these yeah. regions of Bavaria.
Don't be a shepherd boy, apparently.
That's rule number one.
Looking like a whole snack.
The good news is, if you're a good kid or just a normal adult, you don't really have to be worried about Hans Trapp.
Okay.
As we know, he only really shows up at Christmas to steal mean children. So let's just say, hypothetically, you're a naughty kid, like all of the kids that listen to TPL are. What should you be on the lookout for if you want to avoid an encounter with Hans Trapp? First, as we know, if you're wandering about in the woods or field and you come across a scarecrow in a suspicious location, it's him.
Right. This isn't like, you know, maybe take some extra precautions. It's just take out a knife from your sock.
Right.
Because he's about to strike.
It's not like, it's like maybe go slightly left of the scarecrow. It's
right.
him.
Throw a stone, see if it startles it. Yeah.
It is him, for
it
sure.
It is him.
Don't approach. Don't go anywhere near.
Because how many, especially these days, how often do you see scarecrows, really?
Have you ever seen a scarecrow in your life?
Not sure. Probably only a kind of Disneyland style one. Maybe I went to like a petting zoo.
Yeah.
And then they had one.
I feel like probably technology nowadays is at a depressing level where farmers are probably like, we have ultrasound cannons that burst crows' eardrums if they try and touch our potatoes.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, just yeah. farmers just shooting birds.
I kind of liked it when we drew a face on a pumpkin and put it in a shirt with hay to make it look like there was a guy out there.
I mean, I will say I would be disappointed in birds in general if after all this time they hadn't figured out the ruse.
Right,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they just stopped working at some point. Like sometime around like the 50s, birds just worked it out.
Right. Yeah, it'd be kind of embarrassing if you were a bird trying to get some seeds and you're just watching a scarecrow in a field and your buddy flies up and your buddy's like, anything? You're like, he's still standing there.
Yeah.
This is great. This motherfucker hasn't moved in 2 days. They're like, this is insane. How are we supposed to get any seeds?
Yeah. It's like, isn't he hungry? It's like, bro, he's in a field of seeds. He's not hungry.
He's fine. It's us we need to be worried about. I don't think he's ever going to move. I don't think he's ever going to move. Now, other people say Hans still appears in his human form, which may sound like it should be less scary than the scarecrow form, but the original guy, Hans von Trotha, was 6'7".
Nope, off. No, he wasn't. You said this was 1451.
Exactly. He was like twice the height of everyone else.
He was a NBA player in the Middle Ages.
No wonder they made him a knight.
Yeah.
He probably came out of his mother with a helmet on.
Even if you had like a dodgy foot, you'd still have to be a knight just on stature alone.
As you said, Kit, the original Hans might have been a knight, but the one in the children's story is described as being thin, with a white beard, a dark pointed cap, And he carried a rod to hit children with.
All right. Now that I know he's 6'7", I'm starting to understand how he got away with it for so long. Because, I mean, if someone hit my daughter with a stick, I'd be furious. Yeah. I would be blind with rage. I would try to kill that person with my bare hands. Wouldn't be able to, though, if they were 6'7". I wouldn't get very far. They'd hit... I am a child to them. They would hit me with the stick as well.
Looney Tunes style, he could just hold out his hand and you'd be like, I'd be abbedee, swinging, abbedee, abbedee, yeah. Just swinging in. Yeah, you're not going anywhere near that guy. Now, one interesting thing is, like a lot of these cool, old-school Bavarian Christmas characters, Hans Trapp is still a big part of local celebrations. For example, every December...
Shouldn't be.
Well, he's an interesting guy, you know? And it makes it, like, kind of fun...
Yeah, interesting in terms of like war criminals are like interesting to read about.
Yeah, on President's Day, you also don't celebrate like the war criminals of the world.
Right.
Like the villains.
Right, not all presidents. Imagine.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's President's Day. We're celebrating all the greats. Washington. Abraham Lincoln, Mussolini, Chairman Mao. Yeah. Like, you know, in the same way that a Christmas celebration in the UK or the US would also have the Grinch turn up. And they could be like, oh, here's the naughty Grinch. Here he comes. Don't let him steal. And he's like trying to steal the presents or something. You know, it's like a funny thing. Hans Trapp makes an appearance during the Christmas parade in Weissenburg. What's extra cool is this village is the actual village that Hans von Trapp flooded with his dam. So he's kind of
crazy.
Back.
Crazy that they celebrate that then. Crazy.
I found a website where someone had attended the event a couple of years ago and gave out kind of a detailed bullet point structure of how the parade plays out.
Right.
So it starts with a collection of monks parading down the street. Then, fire jugglers, percussionists, performers, encapsulating the spirit of Christmas. Then, screaming is heard. Hans Trapp arrives on horseback like a dark rider. Behind him is a cage full of children crying for help.
Oh my God, real children?
They're actors. They get hired to be the kids in the cage.
It's like, they're actors, really? Some of them are putting on a hell of a performance. I'll give them that. Those are real tears.
Yeah, the mayor is talking to the prime minister and he's like, well, you picked an incredible guy to play Hans Trapp this year. The prime minister's like, I thought you picked him. Who the f*** is this guy? He's drinking like chicken blood. Hans Trapp then runs into the crowd and starts interrogating children. But then soon... the atmosphere softens with the arrival of Christ Kindle and his lighthearted float. The festival then ends with a beautiful firework display.
Oh, that's fine then.
Yeah.
Cool. All the child murdering and stealing, we'll just forget about that because there was a nice little kind of after dinner mint at the end there with Christ Kindle.
Maybe he comes up and like saves the day. You know, right.
Unless he shoots fucking Hans in the head, there's no saving that day. Unless he kills him once and for all. It's like, and then it ends on a high note where Christ Kindle drags Hans out the back of the festival and shoots him in both legs. Just when you mentioned the Grinch, I just have to shout out, in case no one's seen it, just like that tweet for the absolute ages of the person who paid the Grinch £85 to destroy their house.
Incredible.
If you've never seen it, you got to Google it. You got to Google it.
I guess the implication was there's a service where you can quote unquote pay the Grinch
to come and like visit your kids.
To make mischief.
Yeah.
You know, kind of turn the place upside down. And it's a family showing a video of what happened. And I think they go downstairs and whoever they paid... the Grinch is even there. You don't even see the Grinch.
Yeah, yeah. It's the aftermath.
So what happened is they just paid someone £85 to destroy their house.
He just came in and just swept everything off every surface, smashed every window, smashed the TV.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Because I don't even know, you know, if you get taken to court for that, they're like, they literally paid me to do it.
To cause mischief. It's just because we were thinking about this because we were in town the other day doing some Christmas shopping, and we saw that in Coleraine there's a Grinch experience. It's like behind these like wooden doors, you know. Very often they'll be in the town centre at Christmas. There'll be like kids, Santa experience, whatever. But there's a Grinch experience. And so I was like,
I'm worried that it's behind closed doors.
Yeah, what is happening behind those doors?
You're like, ooh, I wonder if it's going to be like a little winter wonderland where the Grinch dances around and says funny words. And it's just a guy in a Grinch outfit with a baseball bat. Be like, take off your shoes. Yeah. You're like, oh, you really are naughty, Mr. Grinch. You really are. He's got a butterfly knife. And that, ladies and gentlemen, listeners to the podcast, that is the story of Hans Trapp, the Christmas Scarecrow.
Good Lord. I mean, I guess I'll clap that one out. But I mean, Rory, we went into this with the framing. Look, I love Christmas, but we went in with the framing that maybe you were slightly more of a Christmas lover than me, that I was being painted to be some kind of Grinch myself, some kind of Scrooge McDuck of myself. Now I'm thinking I should be. Now I'm thinking I shouldn't be celebrating Christmas at all because I didn't realize what I was celebrating. I thought that it was all about getting your family together with a nice big 2-liter jug of reindeer piss and just go into town. But you're telling me that we're, by celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating child eaters, person whippers.
Well, this is
monk drowners.
This is the kind of conclusion we came to as well. Last year, when we did a whole episode on the dark side of Christmas, if you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to it. It's a great episode. The origins of Christmas are very strange and complicated. You know, talking about the origin, I mean, it kind of came from Saturnalia, which we talked about wasn't so much gift giving and family reunions. I think it was like a 14-day fest.
Yeah, you kept saying that.
Where slaves became masters and everyone just banged and drank wine for 14 days. It's kind of been watered down now, unfortunately, to the Christmas that we know now. But if you do look back at the origin of this holiday, there's a lot of weird, dark, creepy, stupid, mischievous, and bizarre stuff like Hans Trapp.
Yeah, it is crazy, isn't it? How things get, as you say, watered down over the ages. You know, if we go back into our primal past, festivals and celebrations really always took on the characteristics of just one or two things.
Yeah.
I mean, really, mostly it's food and drink. Yeah, it's like kind of generally humans. The whole point of our existence was like, look, finding food is tough for most of the time we've been around. So most of the time we eat pretty lean. We're on that clean diet. And then once a year we have a Dwayne The Rock Johnson style cheat day, and that's called Christmas.
Yeah.
And we kind of just let it all go wild. I mean, apparently, sure, sex parties, that's cool too. But it's all pretty primal. But then somewhere along the way, as kind of culture and society has become more kind of, I don't know, symbolic and sanitized, it's now become about just symbols.
Yeah.
You know, just the symbol of, you know, like we've replaced the 14-day fest with lighting a candle to represent the spirit of the Lord.
It's a travesty. It's a goddamn travesty.
Eating a single mince pie instead of gorging yourself with boars and apples until you vomit everywhere.
Yeah, we've airbrushed history, folks.
Right.
You know, we've taken the little cherry bits that everyone wants, you know, all the nice little bits, and we've left all the dirt behind. I want to bring back the dirt. Imagine how many other holidays and celebrations that we have through the year have these dark histories and bizarre origins we don't even know about. You know, we all know about the Easter bunny. Is there an Easter rat?
Right.
We don't know. There could be.
Yeah.
But we just left him behind. We left him in the past.
Is there some kind of Thanksgiving demon that eats the souls of the vulnerable?
He doesn't give thanks at all. That's his whole thing.
We just don't know. So, I mean, maybe we'll have to do this more here in this Paranormal Life. We'll dive into the seedy underbelly of every nice thing. Valentine's Day? You don't want to get me started on that, brother.
Yeah, this is what we're here for, showing you guys the real dark history of these holidays.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Try and enjoy it. Honestly, be pretty hard after what you've just heard.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Of course, double no this week. Doesn't even need to be said. Hans Trapp, the Christmas scarecrow, is definitely not real. You do not need to be afraid. Kids, be as naughty as you want. No one's going to punish you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if we're talking naughty as in like eating all of your Christmas chocolate a bit early, that's fine.
I think I mentioned
earlier, Rory, microwaving cats. I would stop short of that.
True.
What did you say? Steal shit?
Steal stuff if you want, kids. It's a little loophole. You can actually get anything you want for free.
Five-finger discount, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for joining us for this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. A strange one, a bit of a dark one, but you can't argue it wasn't a festive one.
It's so true, Rory. I'm getting excited. It is that time of the month. We have only one more episode that's pre-Christmas next week.
That's true.
Beyond which, I think one is dropping on Boxing Day.
Wow.
And then we're into probably the new year. So, God, I'll have to have a doozy lined up for the next one before Christmas. But, hey, we got to get ourselves ready. We're having a great time. We're sitting here in the studio already wearing Santa hats. We've got the Christmas lights up, thanks to you, Rory. If you want to see what the studio looks like, head on over to YouTube, type in This Paranormal Life, check it out.
That's a great shout. That's right. You can see the videos and great clips from the show on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all of our socials. Check it out. It's the best way to keep in touch with This Paranormal Life. But if you're really enjoying the show, maybe you've listened to every episode. Maybe you've listened to every episode twice.
But you haven't listened to every episode while drinking reindeer piss. It's a completely different experience that I couldn't recommend more.
I'm not advocating this. This is not something I think anyone should
hear. Here at This Paranormal Life, we advocate returning to tradition, returning to history, returning to your ancient and primal instincts to drink that reindeer piss and voyage into the beyond. Be your own gift. How about that? Be your own gift this
Christmas.
Drink
your own piss.
Live your soul to the max.
Make your own juice this Christmas. Don't do that. Don't do any of that. What I was going to say was, go on patreon.com because we have bonus episodes.
Right, okay.
All these extra
things. Yeah,
well, that's
true. So if you've listened to all the main feed episodes, you listened to all 350 whatever episodes,
yeah,
you haven't listened to all of them. Because if you haven't been on Patreon, you haven't seen the, I don't know, 80 plus after parties, the 60, 70 plus bonus episodes that are on there. So hundreds more episodes over there. Now, once you're done with those, we need to get you on the reindeer piss and go back through the catalogue.
No.
But, you know, I understand. Yeah, we need to do that first.
This is a great time to join as well because our bonus episode this month is our annual huge Q&A episode where Kit and I kick back, open up a 24-pack of Bud Light and just answer rapid-fire questions submitted by the community. So it's everything from our own paranormal stories to our favorite cryptids to what really happened down in Dublin with the Gorilla Man. It gets pretty boozy and it's very festive and fun. So if you want to check it out, patreon.com.
Last year, we spent 36 harrowing minutes describing the details of Rory's divorce.
Yeah, it was pretty dark.
It was a bonding moment for us in the community, but I don't know if it was fun. We might not try and repeat that, but you know, if you want to hear that,
there's a lot more development since then, let me tell you.
Okay. Please don't ask about that anyone.
You know how Kit said that, you know, the Christmas feast is kind of like having a big cheat day? I can tell you about another cheat day.
Yeah.
Where Susan, all right, she cheated quite a bit that dinner.
All right. Yeah. We did get it. I thought we got it out of our system last year.
Sorry. There's much more. There's much more that's happened like in the years.
All right,
since.
Wish I hadn't brought it up though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I come to yours for Christmas?
Okay. All right. We got to the punch.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. I hope you're having a great festive season. And of course, we'll be back next Tuesday with another paranormal tale.
But not before we do a few shout-outs at the end
of
this episode.
Because that's what we love to do at the end of the episode, is a couple shout-outs. Because on Patreon, that's one of the rewards. You can get a shout-out at the end of the podcast, which is obviously what I was alluding to.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Because how could you forget?
How could I forget? So, yeah. So here we go. So thank you to Parker Cunningham.
You're going to want to invite Parker to your Christmas dinner because he makes a stunning ham.
Oh.
We're talking glazed. We're talking honey. We're talking pig.
Yeah, you're saying a lot of exciting words. It's still alive, well, by the way. It's not, this isn't like rotating on a spit yet. He needs to kill it and get it on the roast.
It can be fresh.
It's squeak. It is running around the kitchen right now. Parker, get it under control.
Parker, come on, man. Thank you also to Cody Nelson. Cody Nelson is casting spells, son. This guy's a street wizard.
Okay, what does that mean?
He uses a gat.
What?
Like a gun, like a hand. He has a handgun.
Jesus,
that's what it's called.
What's magic about that?
The way the bullets fly.
All right. Are you just rapping right now?
It does kind of sound like it. Cody Nelson, he's casting spells, son. If you hear the rat-a-tat-tat, you going to hell, son.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I will subscribe on Spotify.
Street Wizard is a cool rap name, to be fair. And thank you, lastly, to James Hollingshead. James is the number one at the Christmas games. We're talking charades. We're talking...
Can't think of another game.
Pass the parcel.
Sure.
We're talking, what's the one where
Monopoly
you,
or something?
What's the one where you can't, like, say what you're doing, but you have to, like, act it out?
Charades?
Yeah, that one as well. He's really good at the one where it's like, you know, if you're thinking of, like, a movie or something, you, like, do a gesture to be, like, two words. Like, that game, that one as well, whatever that one is.
Charades.
These all can't be charades. I've named, like, three games. What's the one where everyone has to guess the word, but you can't say it out loud?
You're saying
James wicked good at that one. Okay. He's nasty at it.
And you must be bad. You must be bad at it because you can't stop talking and you can't remember the name of it.
You can't remember the word charades. He's the guy you want to have on your team. So if you see people picking science at the dinner table, pair up with James. Thank you to James and thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We couldn't make this show without you. As I said before, and will say again now, thank you for joining for this week's episode. We'll be back next Tuesday with another paranormal tale.
Ho, ho, ho.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.